what some big challenges cryopreservation is facing in rewarming and reviving dead people.
So again, like putting someone in cryopreservation under good logistical conditions and so on, you can do pretty well. The rewarming is, so it's not like we cannot currently wake people up because the quality is somehow too bad. At least we don't, it doesn't look like that's the case. It's the problem that we cannot warm up without accumulating lots of damage during warm up. And of course, we can also not cure cancer, but that aside. So the issue is that these cryoprotective agents of which we spoke, these medical grade antifreezes, they only stop ice crystal formation if you cool very fast and warm very fast. Basically, a physical property of how ice crystal formation works, that you need to cool down with 0. something degrees per minute. And then you cool down fast enough to not have ice crystal formation. But to warm up, you need to warm up in a couple of degrees to tenths of degrees to ideally hundreds of degrees per minute. Yeah. So just in warming, of course, is always a heat exchange problem. You want to get heat away, or in warming up cases, you want to put heat everywhere, right? And now this everywhere point is the problem. You need to, you cannot do it on the outside. Of course, you can warm up the outside super fast, but the outside is gone already. If you put something into a microwave, right, and the outside is already burning and the inside is still a clump of ice, right? So you need to do it uniform, and you need to do it uniform and fast. And now this is where the problem comes from, where you need to deposit energy, warming energy, inside the brain, inside all of the body. And you need to do this very fast. And there's a couple of concepts of how we're currently somewhere between basic science to maybe applied science, what we're currently thinking about how this would work. And in fact, a couple of technologies in small organs does work. One is, for example, nano rewarming, where you have like small magnetic particles, metal particles, and you put them into a magnetic field, and then the magnetic field changes, and then all these particles wobble around, and they generate basically energy by friction in the end, and by a couple more other effects. Then there's like a concept of ultrasound rewarming, where you have targeted ultrasound beams that all have a different focal length, where you can target different parts of the brain, different depths of the brain at the same time. But all of these concepts are, they work in small volumes. And now, again, coming back to the engineering challenges, they would need to be scaled up to then be usable for larger amounts. This is why I'm, at least compared to the longevity field, a bit more optimistic, because technically just scaling something up, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier. So this is why where we're coming from and how this, while I think this could be, comparatively easier than figuring out biology.
It's clearly, hopefully not impossible if you've been able to do it on a small scale. And the fact that you're even able to successfully reduce someone's temperature and cryopreserve them, imagine that 100, 200 years ago. Yeah. So there's no necessarily, with that logic, there's a very relatively high probability of it being able to be figured out.
I think at some point, I don't see any reason why this shouldn't work at some point. We could in theory find, there could be a new theory of consciousness that like includes some part that somehow, I don't know, what we would almost call metaphysical right now, right? Like unknown unknowns that, but currently there seems to be no evidence pointing in that direction. Like all these quantum theory of consciousness is not really, definitely it's doesn't have consensus support or anything like that. It seems to be that this is just an engineering problem, not an easy engineering problem, but just an engineering problem that will just be solved at some point. And hopefully a lot of people who are signed up for cryopreservation, will be solved fast enough so that they can benefit from it.
Yeah. And how do you decide who's the first person to get tested on fully? Because it might work in the future, but I guess it's got to be patient zero for the rewarming process. What do you think about that?
So you wouldn't test on people who signed up to live in the future. So there's a couple of things, right? So let's say in the future, we can do it in animals, right? In pigs or whatever, it works, right? At that point, initially, you would probably, just like you do today, you would ask people who is willing to donate their body to science. People who don't care about cryopreservation at all. There is always going to be people who don't care about this, right? And they just are down to donate their body so that scientific progress can be made just like they do today. So there you would try. And then at some point, you probably will get good enough so that in some cases it works, where you can actually bring people back. And so I think it's morally not okay to bring people back if they have not chosen to be wanted to brought back. It should be very much a personal choice. So I think in that stage, you would have people who would say, I'm willing to donate my body. And if it works, that's great. And if it doesn't work, that's also great. And of course, you would have very comprehensive and informed consent. And of course, based on whatever the legal system would be in the future, difficult to predict as well, but you would have they would really decide based on having all the information, just like you do today for a clinical trial, where stuff is being tested, where we don't exactly know how it works, but if it will work, or maybe it even has downsides, right? But people do it with consent. And then at some point you would say, yes, now we can do it. Now we know how to do this. We have run all these clinical trials, right? If people sign up for cryopreservation, they can currently say, do you rather want to be woken up as early as possible or later? So you would start with those people where, and when I say start, so I think the risk profile of bringing someone back from cryopreservation should be somewhere in the range of a large-scale operation right now, where we can do them, but they still have risks. And of course, now the trick or the interesting thing to think about is, at the time when we can bring people back, we will likely have perfected the procedure of cryopreservation so much that if something goes wrong, or like it deviates from the ideal conditions during warm-up, you would just stop, go back, wait another 20 years, so for whatever, right? And wait until we have new technology that makes this procedure even better, where then we can maybe whatever problem arose, we can now fix that. And then last but not least, it would likely be a procedure where it would be last in, first out, right? The people who have been cryopreserved with the best technology would be woken up first, because there would be the least amount of complexity, the least amount of damage, the best cryoprotective agent. So what we tell our people who sign up for cryopreservation is, like, no one should do cryopreservation. A, we wouldn't do it. And B, it makes no sense to want to do this early. You should live as healthy as possible, as long as possible, and then just do it as a last-ditch effort so that we have the most possible amount of time to perfect the cryopreservation procedures. And of course, it's an active research field, an active development field, so it's going to get better and better. So wait the longest possible amount of time, then do it. So I think this is how you tentatively would do this in the future regarding warming up and then waking people up.
Yeah, and when you're warming people up, obviously you have to do that successfully. But then do you also have to, I assume, depending on the illness and stuff, revive them or resuscitate them, or would that be part of the process as well? Or is it a separate process?
It would be part of the process. So most likely, and again, everything I'm saying about the far future is speculative, during the warm-up procedure, at some point you would get into where the cryoprotective agent becomes liquid again, even at minus degrees, because it's a cryoprotective agent, it's actually liquid during, or like it's high viscosity, but liquid. So at that point, you would already start curing. Again, let's keep with the cancer example. You would start curing the cancer with whatever technology there will be in the future. You would fix you might fix a old body, fix whatever we call old bodies right now, folded proteins, damage in all these things, you would fix them. And then now you have warmed up and you have replaced all the cryoprotective agent against some, that would be synthetic blood or whatever, you would likely just do what we currently do. You would start recirculation, you would shock the heart into rhythm, and then you would provide oxygen. And then most of the cells are made, if they get oxygen, if they get nutrients and so on, they start working again. And then it's not if someone's heart stops, it's not like you need to restart the brain, right? The brain also it sinks it back into rhythm, right? The heart, you need to shock to sink it into rhythm, but of course you can do this with current technology. Yeah, and then probably the people will just start, it just starts working all again. And potentially right now, if a part doesn't work, it might be too damaged to repair, at least imaginable that you can do 3D printing of organs almost right now. Not yet right now, but 100 years in the future, it's probably going to be child's play. So let's say the kidney has gotten too much damage. Okay, cool. Then we just 3D print a kidney. And of course, this sounds like, oh, it's like very simple. And it's of course nowhere near as simple, but it's also not unimaginable. So I think this would be how we would go about this.
Yeah. It's just so cool how we're on the edge of this kind of almost innovative like revolution in a way, because we're so close. Nanotechnology is improving, cryopreservation is improving, artificial intelligence is improving, you know, all these things that could potentially increase our lives to almost like an infinite amount. It's just incredible. I just don't, if you told someone 100 years ago that this was possible, it just probably would blow their minds completely. It's blown my mind already, just understanding how close we are to all these different things.